Right, boys and girls, at the beginning of the service I was reading, and in that Bible passage in John's Gospel, Jesus is described as the Word. Okay, now, words can be very powerful. Words can make us happy, some words can, some words can make us sad, and words can change us. And I'm going to show you some words here, and if it makes you happy, I want you to do a big smile and do that, okay? If it's a word that doesn't make you happy, I want your big frown, big grumpy face, and do that. Okay, can you do that? Right, let's see the first word. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Some boys are never happy. Okay, that's Mary Poppins' word. Okay, next word, homework. There's an odd, strange person. Okay, next one, presents. Oh, I think everybody's there, apart from you going to have to buy them. Okay. The next one, tidy. Does your room ever look like that? You have to tidy. Oh, grumpy face. And the last one, party. Yeah, a Christmas party, a birthday party. You got a big smile. Words are powerful. Words can make us happy. Words can make us sad. Words can change us. We hear things that can change us. And on the next slide, Jesus being Word, he is the one person who can change us. And he can change us in a wonderful way. And what I want us to think about for a few minutes here, some important things, boys and girls, about Jesus as the Word. What is he like? And what does it mean for the Word? Who is he? Well, next slide there. John's one says, in the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning, when the world was formed, the Word was already there. Now, I have some things to show you here in my big bag today. Right. What's that there? Does anybody know what that is? Not who it is, but what it is. Okay. Yes, Papa. It's a Gruffalo. And what is the type of, what is this? Yes, Anna. It's a calendar. And what else have I got? I have got, what's that? Yes, certainly. Clock. So we have a calendar and a clock. And what do a calendar and clock, what do they both have in common? What do they tell us about? Yes. Yes, what day it is, what time. And they're both to do with time. And when it says in the beginning was the Word, it means that even before time existed, once, boys and girls, there was no such thing as time. It was called eternity. And the Word lived in eternity. He lived before the world was formed. He lived before time even began. He has always lived. There never was a time he began to live. The Word, Jesus, always existed, even before the world was formed. Let's just shoot on. What else, John, tell us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. Couple of things to show you here. Okay. Somebody, tell me, what is this here? Okay, look. It's a triangle. That's from my snooker table. Okay, and it's a triangle. Right, tell me, how many triangles am I holding up? It's a really hard maths question. Yes. One triangle. How many sides has the triangle? Let's see. Yes. Many sides? Three sides. Flick on, Jonathan. So we have, or Gary, one triangle, but three sides. And that tells us about God. There is one God, boys and girls, not three gods, only one God, but there are three persons in God. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, and yet one God. Let's see what else I've got here. Does anybody know what this is? What sort of plant is this? Okay. Yes, Karis? Somebody help her, Finlay? Clover, very close. Think of Ireland. It's a... You, Papa? It's a tree, it's like a big tree. It's a shamrock, okay. It's a shamrock. How many shamrocks am I holding up? Shout it out.
One.
How many leaves has the shamrock? three. So one shamrock, but three leaves. And that's a God. One God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Word who came into this world, boys and girls, was God. He was God with the Father and the Spirit. He is the Son of God who has all his existence, equal to the Father and Spirit and greatness, but has come into this world for an important task. Right, let's see what else we learned. Shoot it on there. All things were made through him, John says, and without him was anything made that was made. Okay, next bag's heavy. Oh, right, okay. Bad for the ale back. Okay, you'll see a man in the next picture, and he might use something like this. Okay, he's not a teacher. Okay, he's a builder. Okay, isn't that right? And builders, they're building things, they make things, they might use drills and that and the wood and things, they use a hammer and that, and they use many other tools to build things. And this is telling us, boys and girls, that the Word who comes into this world is a builder. He is the builder who has made everything. Now, builders that we have, and we have builders in this church, they make things from other things. They use stone and sand and cement and water to make concrete. They use bricks and blocks to make walls. They use wood and tiles to make roofs. So they make something from something else. But the Word is different. He made something from nothing. Let's think of some of the things he made. Next picture, we see that he made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He just spoke, boys and girls, and they all went in. Thousands, millions of stars and planets went into space. He just spoke, and it all came to exist. Next picture we see, he made the hills, he made the trees, he made the animals, he made all plant life. Again, he just spoke, and it all came to be. Next picture, he made heaven, a place where the angels live, and a special place where God is. He also made that. He just spoke, and it came to exist. And then, finally, he made people like you and me. He made boys and girls, and he made mums and dads, so we would know God, we would love God. So the Word has done this so we would be friends of God. Now, do you remember what we've learned so much about the Word now? We think about how he has always existed before time. He always is there. He's lived forevermore. We think how he is God, one God, but three persons. And we think of how now he is the maker of the world. That little baby, boys and girls, who came and was born in Bethlehem, he was the God who made everything. Isn't that amazing? I wonder how Mary thought when she saw that little baby there. Tiny, tiny little baby. Thinking, that wee baby, who's a real baby, was also the God who made everything. He came down in that amazing form. Right, let's see. We're getting there near the end. Let's see what next we can learn about this. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. What have I got in here? Okay, a light. Okay. Another big torch. Jesus is a light. Like the sun, he does some very important things. Right, what does he do? Well, any idea what might be inside this? Any idea what might be in there? Okay, yes, Karis. Runner beans, it's actually seeds. And if we plant these in the garden, if we plant those, then we'll grow loads and loads of runner beans, hopefully. See? So you put those into the ground, right? And it goes into the ground, and then God brings it to new life. And loads of runner beans will come out of a few runner beans. Isn't that absolutely amazing? And God, the Word, has given all life. He's made you. He's made me. He has given us life. So like the sun, when you put those beans, boys and girls, into the ground, it needs to rain. They need water. They need nourishment from the soil, but they also need the sun to shine, the sun to give life. And the Word who came into this world is the one who gives life to everyone. But what else does the sun do? What have I got here? Anybody know what this is? Okay, what is this? Yes, Matthew? What is it? Okay, yes, Anna? Not a mini TV. I'm sorry, you'll not get much. You'll not see severe or anything like that on it. Give you a clue. Yes, Karis? It's a sat-nav. It guides us. It shows us the way to go. And the Word, who came into this world, Jesus was here to show us the way to go. The way we're to live, to teach us the truth about God, about Himself, about ourselves, how we can be saved from our sin. He is guiding us these most important things. Well, let's see what the next thing says. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, that word overcome can mean something else. It can mean receive. Let's see our next picture. It means to grasp. And when the Word came into the world, people wouldn't grasp. People wouldn't take the Word for themselves. They wouldn't take Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord because their hearts, the Bible says, are evil. And boys and girls, we have born with hearts which by nature say, keep out Jesus. Keep that light out. Keep the Word out. We don't want you, Jesus. We will not grasp Jesus. But boys and girls, we need to grasp hold of Jesus. Let me tell you a story. We see in the next picture a man called Eric Liddell. In the 1924 Olympics, that's almost 100 years ago, his race, which he was best at, the 100 meters, was going to be on a Sunday. And Eric wouldn't run on the Sunday. It was Lord's Day, he loved Jesus, and he wouldn't run on Sunday. It wasn't a day for sport. So Eric ran in another race, the 400 meters, on another day. And before the race began, an American runner handed Eric a note. And this is what the note said. The good book says, those who honor me, I will honor. From a man called Jackson Schultz. And that's a verse, boys and girls, from the book of 1 Samuel. And God is saying, those who honor him, he will honor. And if you ever see the film Chariots of Fire, Eric got this note, and then he did that. And some people think when he did that, we didn't like the note. No, no, no. He was grasping the note. He was holding tight to the note. And as he ran that race, he was trusting in God's promise. He was holding God's word, God's truth, really tight and really close to him. And boys and girls, the way I have grabbed this piece of paper, and the way Eric grabbed that piece of paper, and he ran the race, and he won the race, the way he grabbed that, that's the way we have to grab Jesus. Like, give Jesus a big hug and say, Jesus, I want you to be mine. It's not enough, boys and girls, to have fun at Christmas time and remember that Jesus came into this world. We have to do something about it. We have to take Jesus to be our Savior and our Lord. How do we do that, boys? How does Jesus become our Savior and our Lord? Well, let's see. Shoot it on there. Three things we have to do. First of all, you'll see up there, A means we have to admit that we're sinful people who haven't loved God with all our heart and haven't given God his right place in our lives. We have to admit that we have sinned against God. B, we'll see next one, we believe all that the Bible says about Jesus, Jesus being God, God coming into this world to die on the cross. And more than just believing those truths, we will trust Jesus that he died to save us from our sin. Our only hope of getting to heaven, boys and girls, is Jesus dying to save us. We have to believe that and come and trust Jesus and ask him to save us. And then C, we have to confess him as Lord. That means we say to God, God, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. We're willing to say to other people, I am now a Christian. I am going to follow Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. Boys and girls, that's the way we grasp hold of Jesus. A, admit our sin. B, believe that Jesus, the Son of God, has died to save us. And C, confess him as Lord. Take him to rule over us and to follow him. And boys and girls, that is the best life that we could ever have. I was listening last night, boys and girls, to a man called Brian. Brian was really good at skateboarding. He was one of the best skateboarders in the whole world. He was brought up in Liverpool. He went to America to skateboard for a team in America, and he was getting hundreds of thousands of pounds a year for doing this. But then he says, my life was empty. I had all this, he says, but it was no happiness inside. had all the money, had everything I thought I needed, but I wasn't happy. And then he came to meet Jesus, and he understood, boys and girls, that the greatest gift of all is Jesus. So, when you get Christmas up, Christmas morning, and you look and there's maybe presents, and there's a really, really big present with your name on it, and you open all the other presents, but you say, I'm not going to open the big present. I'm going to ignore the big present. Will you do that? No, you'll not do that. But boys and girls, you know, Christmas morning, there's a really big present, which you'll not be able to see with your eyes. That really big present is Jesus. And the question is, will you take that present? Will you admit your sin? Will you believe that Jesus died to save you as your only hope? And will you confess him as your Lord? Will you say, be my king, be my master, take over my life? And boys and girls, no matter what age you are, you can receive the greatest gift of all, who is Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do pray for the boys and girls here, and oh Lord, help them just this Christmas time, not just to see the message of Jesus, not just to like the message of Jesus, but to take Jesus as their own. Give them that grace. Give them that grace of your Holy Spirit to do that. We pray that too for mums and dads and grannies and grandas and aunts and uncles here today who maybe haven't received Jesus yet either. Oh Lord, help us to remember what the wee chorus says. Christmas isn't Christmas until it happens in our heart. Oh Lord, give us that grace to admit our sin, to believe that Jesus alone can save us through his death on the cross, and confess him as the Lord of our lives. Oh Lord, may we have the best Christmas of all, because may we have Christmas Jesus living within us. In his name we pray. Amen.